That'll preach right there. In fact, it already did. I'm going to close in prayer. Good morning. Good morning. Doing all right today? Awesome. Louisville, Dallas, Prosper, good to see you this morning. Welcome. We are in a series called Demo Days. We're going to continue that series today. If you're new with us, we're in a series called Demo Days. Welcome. What we've been doing is real simple. We are deconstructing some myths that make us miserable. We believe some things that are not true. And when we operate based on our beliefs, we find ourselves in a miserable place. So that's what we've been talking about. So we're going to continue talking about. Last week, if you missed it, or just as a reminder, we dealt with the myth that something will make us happy. That if we just had this, or we just had that, or this went well, or we had more or better, whatever it is would make us happy. But the truth at the end of the day, now we'll see how if you're listening, the truth is it's not the... All right, so we have 15 of you back again. Welcome. We're going to try that again. The other campuses, you were kind of quiet as well. It was not the but the
who.
There you go. There you go. It wasn't the what, but the who. It's our relationships, our relationship with God. Those are the things where we find joy and contentment. So today I'm going to address a topic that I know that I know that I know will touch everybody from this side all the way to this side everywhere. It's the topic of pain. I wasn't going to get amens on the front end. It's like, oh, really? I came for encouragement today. We're talking about pain. It will be encouraging. But the problem is that we believe some stuff about pain that's not right, which keeps us miserable. So let me ask this question. Who in here has ever experienced physical, emotional, or relational pain? Anybody? All right. Who in here would say, man, I love pain. I love being miserable. I love suffering. It's so good. Okay. Now watch this. How many of you would say that you went through a painful season? It was miserable in the moment, but looking back on it, you go, I wouldn't change what I got out of it for nothing. Okay. So that tells me that our perspective impacts the pain that we go through. That tells me that what feels miserable in the moment is not always a miserable outcome on the back end. So I believe that if we don't deconstruct a myth about pain that many of us believe, that some of us will suffer more and longer than we really should in our pain. I believe some of us will not get out of our pain what God has for us through the pain. And I believe some of us will believe lies about God, others, and ourselves because of our pain if we don't deconstruct the myth. So here's the myth. It's real simple. The myth is if I ignore my pain, it'll go away. That's the myth. If I just overlook it, it'll go away. If I just pretend it doesn't exist, if I just try to put it behind me, if I just gloss it over, at some point I won't feel the pain anymore. That's the myth that we believe is that if I just ignore the pain, it'll go away. What's behind that myth is kind of another lie, which is it's easier to avoid our problems than it is to face them. That's for all us non-confrontational procrastinators in the house should be saying amen. Yeah, but let me just keep kicking the ball down the court and eventually I won't have to deal with it. But it's a lie. It's a myth. We don't ignore our pain. That's not what God's called us to ignore our pain. Here's what a psychologist, Scott Peck, says about our tendency to avoid pain. Here's what he said. Fearing pain, almost all of us, to a greater or lesser degree, attempt to avoid problems. We procrastinate, hoping they will go away. We ignore and pretend they don't exist. We attempt to get out of them rather than suffer through them. This tendency to avoid problems and the emotional pain inherent in them is the primary basis of human mental illness. Here's what he says. Basically, ignoring your emotional pain is not going to get you feeling better. It is actually the path right into feeling worse and mental illness. Avoidance, because basically what you're doing is say, I'm unwilling to face reality. That's what all addiction is. All addiction is an escape tool. I don't want to face reality. I'm going to avoid reality. So according to Scott Peck, if you have the belief that I'm going to ignore my pain and it'll go away, you'll actually end up with some mental illness issues because you're not willing to face what's going on and look at it and walk through it. And then here's what's sad. On top of these lies, Christians have all these extra stuff that we believe. So for a lot of Christians, behind the myth, ignore the pain, they'll go away, is another myth which says, because I'm a Christian, I shouldn't suffer. I got Jesus. I got hope. In fact, some of us suffer, but we think we shouldn't express the fact that we're suffering. Like somehow that minimizes our faith. Like I can't suffer and be in pain and have faith at the same time. That's a lie. And so Christians will often try to push pain down because they think if they express their pain, it somehow makes God not look good. But what God wants us to do is to face our pain, to find the cause of our pain, and to see what He wants us to get out of our pain. Because God can use our pain for His and our good. Here's what James says. That's enough of what psychologists said. Let's see what the Bible says. James, in chapter 1, verses 2 and 4, he not only says that pain and suffering is a possibility, he says it's an inevitability. Watch this. Verse 2, James chapter 1. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So James says, not only is it inevitable, but it's actually a tool that God will use to perfect and mold you and bring good out of you, because that's God's goal for you. See, what we want to do is we want to minimize pain. We want to press down pain. We want to avoid pain. We want to medicate pain. And God's saying, stop. Stop avoiding it, because I can use it. I need you to walk into it, and when you're willing to walk into it, I can do something in the midst of your pain that you will not have happen outside of your pain. That's what God's saying to us. It's a tool. Watch this. Consider it all joy, my brethren. Now, listen, I realize that's one of the toughest commands in the Bible. Right up there with, in everything, give thanks. I have a hard time giving thanks in a lot of things. I also have a hard time considering it joy. Even if somebody calls me brethren, that makes me feel a little better. But I still have a hard time considering it joy when I'm facing trials. But God is saying, I can use the trial to mold and perfect you into the image of my Son. So while the trial doesn't feel good, you can know that the outcome on the other side with me involved, you can consider that all joy. See, the world tells us, consider it joy when you can escape your trials, when you can get away from your pain. That's our goal. But God says, I'll use it. I want you to consider joy in the midst of your trials. See, the thing about pain will reveal your values. Period. It's said that what we are, our values determine our evaluation, is what they say. So what I value will determine how I evaluate what I'm going through. So here's the thing. If you value comfort over character, you're not going to consider it all joy when you find a trial. If you value the physical and material things over the spiritual things, you're not going to be excited when you face a trial. It depends on what we value. There's things in our lives, if you value the present, how I feel right now, more than the future, who God wants me to be, you're not going to be better in trials. You're going to be bitter about trials. So your values will rise to the surface when pain comes in your life. You can say what you want. But pain will help you to evaluate what's really going on inside of you that determines your values. So what James is saying is not consider your trials joyful. He's saying in the midst of your trials, you realize that if you are in the potter's hands and he's doing the molding, that what he sculpts through the trials, what you get on the back end is something that you can be joyful about as he molds your character into the image of his son, Jesus. He says, when you encounter various trials. Now notice he doesn't say if, but when. What he's telling you and I is that if you're a Christian, notice he said brethren on the front end. He's talking to brothers and sisters in Christ. He says, listen, trials, persecution, suffering, pain is normal for the Christian. So don't look at your trials and wonder what's going on. He says it's normal. Listen to what some of the other men of the Bible said. Job, he said, man who is born of woman, all of you were born of a woman, correct? All of us, he says, is of few days and full of trouble. David said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Paul says, we're hard pressed on every side, perplexed, persecuted, struck down. He said, listen, don't think it's weird. You're a Christian. There will be suffering. There will be trials. There will be pain. He says, that's a normal part of life. But here's the good news. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. So he said, listen, you can have all confidence in the midst of whatever you're going through. You can know that what you're going through is going to produce something, endurance. And let endurance have its perfect results so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. There's two aspects of truth in this passage. God is sovereign over every trial. That means nothing comes into your life that God was like, oh, snap, I didn't see that coming. I'm going to figure out how to redeem this. God is sovereign over everything that comes in your life. You may not understand it. You may not like it, but he's sovereign over all of it. And God is actually using the trials of your life to produce endurance, which is molding you into who he really wants you to be. So listen, your goal for you and God's goal for you are often different. God's goal for you is you to increase in Christ-likeness. As James says, becoming perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That's God's goal. I'm going to mold you into something that I want you to be. So I want to encourage you today, if you're in a place of pain, God is at work. God is doing something. You may not consider the moment joyful, but if you understand that God is doing something, then you'll know what you're going to get out of it should bring joy to your life. If you're not in a place of pain today, good for you. I'm going to prepare you today so that when you walk into a place of pain, you're not surprised. You're not like, oh, man. You're actually looking now at your trials and going, I knew this was coming. And now not only did I know this was coming, but I'm going to start looking around and seeing what God wants to do in me in the midst of my trials today. So what I want to do is real simple. I want to give you 5 ways that God works through your pain to make you into who he wants you to be. 5 ways God works through your pain. So listen, here is what God does with pain. Number one, God uses pain to motivate us. Oh, no amens on that. Let me help you out. Show of hands, how many of you have known there is something you need to do that you just have put off until the pain was great enough in your life that it motivated you to do what you already knew you needed to do? Dentist, anybody? I ain't going in there. They're always picking at my teeth. They make my gums bleed. Oh, that's because you don't floss. But if your tooth hurts bad enough where you can't sleep at night, guess who you're calling? The dentist, the doctor, right? Some of you ain't been to the doctor in a decade. You don't trust the doctor. But if your pain gets great enough, you'll show up at the doctor. Some of you, your diet, you know you need to change your diet. But the pain has not gotten great enough for you, so you're just going to keep on cruising. Watch this. I love what Proverbs 20:30 says in the Message version. A good thrashing purges evil. Punishment goes deep within us. I love it. Listen, when you get hammered, like thrashed, beat down, guess what? It'll purge some stuff. Some stuff you've allowed to sit in there will be flushed out when the pain gets great enough. So I recently started going to the gym a little more regularly. Now, don't overthink it, because I went from not at all. So when I say more regularly, it's more than not at all, okay? That's all that means. But listen, the reason I started going to the gym, pain. Here's what was happening to me. I didn't really get this. So I was waking up in the morning fairly often, and something was sore. Like sometimes it was my shoulder, my back, my neck, sometimes my legs. And I wake up sore, and I'm like, golly, what did I do yesterday? And I think through my day. I was like, I did nothing. I woke up sore because I slept funny. And some of you know, when you get to that age where you wake up sore because you slept weird, not because you did anything yesterday, I was like, this is ridiculous. If I'm going to be sore, I'm going to be sore because I did something. So I was like, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to wake up sore knowing what I did. The pain motivated me to do something I should have been doing all along anyway. God uses pain as a motivation. Many of you in here know what needs to happen in your life, and you're not doing it. But I promise you, when you go to the doctor and they give you a diagnosis, high blood pressure, diabetes, you'll be motivated to change your diet. Some of you in here, your spouse has been telling you for years, this is not right. We're not right. We're not in a good place, and you keep ignoring it. But when they threaten divorce, all of a sudden, oh man, maybe we should go see somebody. Right? Some of you, your finances have been terrible for years. You're still not computing the idea that if more goes out than comes in, it's a deficit. But I promise you, when the lender sends a foreclosure notice, when the IRS sends a little letter of intent to freeze assets, you'll be motivated to do something you should have already been doing. God will use pain in our lives to motivate us. There's people in here right now that you know you need change financially. You need changes to the way you work. You need changes to the dating relationships you've been spending time in. You need changes in your friendships. A lot of you know there's changes right now that you need, but for some reason, you're not making the change, and I promise you at some point, God will allow or bring pain into your life. Because he cares about you and he wants to mold you. He wants to motivate you. Remember the prodigal son in Luke 15. He's off having a great time, spending all his inheritance, having plenty of good times. But then he found himself starving. He's like, these hunger pains, they're motivating me. And he said, this is foolish. My dad's servants eat better than I do. The hunger pains motivated him to go back home where he should have been anyway. And walk into his father's arms. Listen, here's the sad part. Every week, not just this isn't like a hyperbole that a preacher uses for emphasis. This is every week. Every week I talk to couples in my office who are in pain in their relationship. Now, many of them, this has been going on forever. But the pain finally got great enough where they need help. So they come in, and of course they want you to fix their pain that day. Which never happens because you didn't get here today. I'm not going to get you out of here today. But what happens is over time, they make some changes. And the pain subsides and the relationship improves. And you know what most of them do as soon as the pain subsides? They stop doing what they were doing to help the pain subside. Only to find themselves back in the office again a couple months later. They're motivated by their pain. Imagine if we were motivated by a desire to grow and change and do what God has called us to do. But if you don't, at some point, God will motivate you with pain. Number two, God uses pain to guide us, to guide us. David said in Psalm 119, 71 and 72, it is good for me that I was afflicted. It was good for him, he said. That I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. David's saying, listen, the pain that was allowed in my life actually guided me to your word, and I'm better for it. God will use pain in your life to guide you. Listen, the moment of greatest pain in my life was when God guided me into ministry. I found myself at a place like David where I said, this pain is great, and I got no answer for it. And I talked to all my friends, and they got no answer for it. So I said, hey, God, I'm going to need something from you. How about your word, your comfort, your wisdom? I'm going to need something from you. And in that moment, God said, so are you saying you're ready to do my will instead of your will? And I said, I mean, I'm pretty open to suggestions at the moment. Right? If it'll ease what's going on right now, I'm open to what you want. Here's the honest truth. It's sad to say, but I fully believe that if I didn't experience the level of pain I experienced, I'd not be standing in front of you right now because I was comfortable. I didn't want to do this. I was good doing that. That paid better. I had less stress. I had less work. I was out of my comfort zone. I like that better. I still want to go back to that often. But I don't like the pain, so I'm like, well, maybe I should stay in God's will. But if I had not had the pain, I promise you, I would not have been willing to make the sacrifices that it takes to make on a daily basis to do what God's called you to do. God will use pain to guide us. It probably is one of the best tools God has to guide us. Watch this. Hebrews 12:7 says, it is for discipline that you endure. So you endure the trials because you know God is doing something. It said God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? So instead of looking at trials and suffering and pain and discipline in your life as a bad thing, realize it's actually a mark of your sonship. The fact that God is disciplining you means he considers you a son or daughter. If he's not, I would be more fearful. Maybe he doesn't consider me a part of the family. He's not doing anything to me. That should be the motivation for those parents in the room who spank. It should not be. Some of you, I wonder. It should not be that you inflict pain because you like to inflict pain on your child. It should be that the pain is a tool to guide your children into a different set of behaviors or mentality. That's what it should be, that the pain does that. Here's what Proverbs 13:24 says. He who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. Proverbs 23:13-14. Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with the rod, he will not die. He thinks he's going to die, but he's not going to die. You shall strike him with the rod and rescue his soul from Sheol. He's saying, you're going to beat the hell out of him. Well, that's my translation. I need a caveat in the middle of this right now, because we have timeout parents in here who think I'm endorsing physical punishment with scripture. So I'm not saying that. You timeout parents, that's cool. Is discipline. Just real quick with the timeout parents. You do realize the timeout's only semi-effective for your extroverted ADD kids who don't want to be alone. Your introverted kids, it's a vacation. They'd be like, praise God. How long can I be in timeout where you don't talk to me? I don't have to see nobody. You don't realize it. So it'll work for some kids, the kids who need people around them and can't sit still. It may work for your introvert kids. They're like, chill. We had a quick story for you. When this is going to be hard for you to believe, but when I was in school, I fooled around a lot. And so teachers didn't always like my jokes like I like my jokes. And so my fifth grade teacher, she had a little area called the castle in a room, and if you got in trouble, you had to go sit in the castle. But the thing about the castle, it was back behind a bookshelf, and there was a beanbag and pillows. The castle was cool. I got sent to the castle a lot, but for me, the castle was like a vacation. I didn't have to do the lesson at that time. I could make it up at home on my own time. It was comfortable back there. I didn't have to do any of the other stuff, so she kept sending me to the castle, time out. I enjoyed the castle. That's all I'm saying. So Well, now I need to make a comeback for, because the all the timeout parents are mad at me. So let me say this. So we got two sides and you're fighting, right? The spankers, the timeouters. So let me say this. Research lately has shown that physical punishment is less effective than boundaries and logical consequences. Okay, timeout parents. And that makes logical sense because as you grow into adults, there's no environment in which physical consequences occur for you, right? Your boss don't beat you if you didn't hit numbers. So that's why they're finding that the spank, and some of you in here grew up and got whooped all the time. But yet still, as an adult, you don't understand boundaries. You don't understand why there should be consequences for your actions. So there's proof, some of you in here, who got beat a lot and still don't understand consequences. So time out, parents. It's not all about spanking, okay? Did I recover? Hebrews 12:11. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. This is important because what it's telling us is some of us make the mistake of thinking when the trial feels really bad, it must not be a trial from God. It must be something else from the enemy. But this passage is telling us that no trial feels good in the moment. It feels sorrowful. But if we allow it to train us, the fruit on the back end that we'll get is righteousness, and that's what God has for us. So don't judge your trial by how it feels in the moment. It's not going to feel good even if God sent it. It doesn't feel good. But what we reap on the back end, if we allow it to train us, is the righteousness that we're looking for. So God uses pain to guide us. Number three, God uses pain to measure us. You're not going to like this one. Romans 5:3-4. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations. Now, we don't exult because it feels good. We exult knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. I love that. It doesn't say character, it says proven character. Because a lot of you would communicate that you have character. I'm not as concerned about what you say about you. Because you'll tell me how you're patient, how you're loving, how you're graceful, how you're forgiving. How you're kind. You'll tell me all those things about you. I want to see you go through pain, and that'll prove the character that's really within you. So you can tell me all kinds of stories about who you are. There's a quote that says, adversity introduces a man to himself. So you can tell me all day long about how spiritual you are, about how Christ-like you are, about how God has done a new work inside of you. I really don't want to hear what you say about you. Just let me watch you suffer. Yeah. not because I want to watch you suffer. I want to watch how you respond in suffering. So you can tell me a bunch of good stuff, but let me watch you suffer financially. I want to see, are you willing to cut corners? Are you willing to quit commitments you've made because of the pressure? Are you willing to cheat the system? Are you willing to compromise your integrity because now there's some pressure on you financially? Are you willing to do some things that you weren't willing to do before? So you could tell me all about you, but let me watch you suffer physically. And let me see if you still proclaim God's goodness and faithfulness. Let me see if you still proclaim him as healer even when you haven't been healed yet. That's what I want to know. So you could tell me all about your character, but let me watch you suffer relationally. You know where your spouse wrongly left you. Not only did they leave you, they went and fought for custody of the kids, took the kids from you. Not only that, but now you have to pay them support for the kids when they make twice as much as you. Let me see you in that moment. Are you still gracious and loving? Are you forgiving? Do you extend mercy, the love of God? Or are you vindictive? Are you attacking? Are you going to figure out a way to stick it to them? That's what I want to see, proven character. And you know what proves character better than anything? Pain. I want proven character, and pain is a great measuring tool for your proven character. Here's what it says in Isaiah 48:10. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. God will use pain in your life to refine and test you. God will use pain in your life to burn off the areas of your life, the impurities in your life. God will use pain to do those things. See, some of you here, you're masters at image management. Come on. I mean, you look nice today. Some of you have a PhD in image engineering. I see it on social media. I see all of it. That's what's so funny to me when church people Facebook friend request you. And then they wonder how you saw the crazy post. They go, oh, you saw that? You requested me. I see all the stuff, you crazy stuff you post. But some of you, you know how to keep your image up perfectly. That's what I love about social media. I recently went on a trip, and it was exhausting. And I was running about 90% of the time. It was really not that relaxing. It was for a purpose, but we took a couple days and ran some places. I posted some pictures. People are like, oh, that looked amazing. You look like you had so much fun. I'm exhausted. But some of you are so good. You know the right angles for your pictures. Some of you on Instagram, you look 10 years younger and 20 pounds lighter. I'm like, is that the same person I saw at church Sunday? Is that the same person? You're masters of it. But watch this. I promise you, you get the flu tonight. If I come see you tomorrow, you're a mess. Hair disheveled. You smell funky. Ain't brushed your teeth. You got that film that gets on your teeth, you know, where you're like, it don't feel right. Everything about you is a mess. But watch this. You don't even care because the pain is so great. And can I tell you something? That's right where God wants you. Where you don't care about your image before man, but you care about your character before God. That's where he wants you. But sometimes you got to go through pain so that God can measure you and figure out what's going on inside of you. See, God is so loving and kind and patient. He'll wait on you. Remember, his goal for you is not your comfort. It's your character. It's you molding into the image of his son. It's Christ-likeness. God will patiently wait on you. But at some point, if you are not moving towards that, God says, well, I probably need to step in and help you move towards that. God will bring things in that will refine the impurities, will burn off some areas of your life. Here's the sad part. If you don't allow God to do that when you're single, then when you're married, your spouse is a part of that. And when God refines you, it's often painful for your spouse. So those of you in here not married, let me help you out real quick. That needs to be part of your little pre-marriage questionnaire. Excuse me, can you tell me a couple moments of pain in your life that God used to shape and mold and refine you? If they can't give you any, they're either lying, or if you marry them, you get a front row seat. Because God has been trying to do it, I promise you. But if they've not allowed it, then you get to go along for the ride when God does it. So listen, when you find yourself in a trial, the question to ask is not, God, why me? It's, what do you want to burn off of me in the midst of that so that I can walk in greater character like your son? God will use pain to measure us. Number four, God uses pain to guard us. See, sometimes God will use pain to protect you from something more painful. Sometimes God will use a moment in your life that feels very painful now because he's protecting you from something way more painful down the road. Some of you have been through a painful breakup and it hurts and you don't like it, but I promise you that the pain you're experiencing now is nothing like the pain you would have experienced 5 years down the road had you stayed in that relationship. God will use pain in moments in your life to guard you. Listen, emotional and physical pain is often an indicator that if you keep going this way, there's going to be more pain down the road. So recently, I'm stubborn. I am all the stuff I talk about today, that's me. Like, I didn't go to the doctor for 12 years straight. because I was feeling good. So I'm like, why would I go in there? They'll find something. That's their job. That's like taking your car in. They'll find something. So I didn't go for years, but my knees have been bad forever. So I had 3 surgeries when I was in college playing soccer all the time. My knees progressively getting worse. So probably for about the last year and a half, all day, every day, there's some pain, different levels, from a low, dull ache to someone stabbing me. That's the pain of my knees right now. In fact, here's a funny story. So I ran into somebody from one at a store. Imagine that every time I go to a store. I ran into somebody from one at a store, and when they came up and said something to me, they're like, I saw you a ways off, but I knew it was you because of the way you walk, which made me insecure. I was like, what do you mean the way do I walk funny? They're like, oh no, you got this little, like a little swag when you walk. I don't have a swag, I have a limp. I have a limp because my knees hurt. So whatever you think or they think I have, it's injury, I'm hurting. So I finally, on Friday, I finally went and saw a doctor and said, hey man, I think I already know what the issue is, right? All the meniscus is out of my knee, so at some point it's going to be bone on bone. I already know that. So I'm like, I think I already know, but go ahead and x-ray me. So he x-rayed me and he goes, man, you got some knees. I know. So he showed me on the x-ray exactly what I thought. So he says, not bone on bone yet, but it's pretty close in there. And so here's what he said to me. Structurally, they're fine, right? No ligament damage. I'm good. It's just the pain. And so he said to me, you want to change what you do to minimize impact. So don't be doing high impact stuff. He said, I'm not telling you you can't. You can do whatever you want. What I'm telling you is if you do stuff of high impact, you're going to pay for it. So the current pain I have in my knees is an indicator to guard me from doing stuff that would cause further pain and greater damage down the road. So what I need to do is acknowledge the pain, adjust some of what I do so that I don't end up with greater injury and greater pain down the road. God uses pain to guard us. If you've ever read any history of the Bible stuff, you know that Middle Eastern shepherds would often, if they had a sheep that had a prone or a tendency to wander, they'll break its legs. They'll break its legs and put them in a splint so that it can't wander off. Now, the sheep is thinking, come on, man. Like, I can't get anywhere. I'm limping around. The sheep doesn't think it's a good idea, but the shepherd knows that it's preventing the sheep from wandering off, falling off a cliff. It's preventing the sheep from wandering off away from the flock to where it might get eaten by an enemy. What I'm saying today is that sometimes God will put a splint on areas of your life to keep you from wandering away from the flock because he's guarding you from something. Don't ignore the pain and walk away. God is using it to guard you from something greater. Number 5, God uses pain to grow us. First, now everybody, if I said show of hands, who wants to grow up in maturity in Christ? Everyone would raise their hand. But the greatest tool God has for that is pain. 1 Peter 1:6-7. In this, these are the trials, you greatly rejoice. Even though now for a little while, I love the Bible because a little while is subjective. Like when I hear a little while, I'm thinking like a couple days. Bible's a little while, maybe like 40 years. If necessary, that's good news because I know that if God's doing it, it's not just for kicks and grins. It's because it's necessary for my growth. If necessary, you have been distressed by various trials so that the proof of your faith, that we had proven character, now we want proven faith. The proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Pain will grow your faith, period. See, one of the privileges I have in ministry is to walk with people through difficult seasons, painful seasons. But it's amazing that story after story after story, you hear things like, I have grown more through this fill in the blank, unemployment. I have grown more through this crisis. I have grown more through this loss. I have grown more through this suffering. I have grown more through this relationship ending than I have ever grown before. You see it day in and day out. God using pain to grow people up. If you have kids, you know they go through growing pains. When the body is growing, it hurts. If you work out at all, now that I do regularly, not more than none. Sometimes I'm sore from it because the muscles are tearing before they grow again. There's pain involved in growth. You show me a person that's never been through pain, I'll show you a person who's still immature. Because our character is proven, our faith is proven. We grow in the midst of pain. See, unfortunately, you and I both know this. If you look at your life and you look at your greatest growth moments, they weren't on the mountaintops. It was in the valleys when God grew you. Now that's not fun, but that's encouraging to me when I go through pain to know that God can use it and do something to grow me. Let me end with this. When you suffer, know this. Suffering is not a neutral experience. See, sometimes we believe that suffering is something that happens to us. It's passive. We just sit back and we endure suffering. But what I want to present to you is that you actually bring something to your suffering. And what you bring to your suffering will determine the depth, the length, and the darkness of your suffering. We can bring something into our suffering. See, when you find yourself in the midst of suffering, the greatest lie the enemy has for the children of God is when you are in the middle of suffering, the enemy will come and say, "Where is your God now?" The implication of the enemy is that God has forsaken you in the midst of your suffering. But the word of God reminds us in Joshua that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So if you're suffering here today, it may not feel like it, but I need you to know that the truth of God's word says he is with you. The Holy Spirit is in you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. It doesn't matter what trial you're going through. He will never turn from you. See, that's the great part of Jesus' death on the cross. Jesus' death on the cross ensured that we would never see the back of God's head again. He has turned toward us. He is with us. He is for us. So if you're in the midst of suffering today, I have three things for you to do. Three simple things. I need you to preach. I need you to invite, and I need you to pray. Preach, invite, and pray. You need to preach to yourself. Do you know in the midst of suffering, you're preaching a gospel to yourself? The question is, which gospel? Is it the gospel of God's absence, that God has forsaken you, the gospel of God's distance, the gospel of God's unfaithfulness, the gospel of God doesn't care about you? Or is it the gospel of God's presence? The gospel of God's love for you, his faithfulness, the fact that he'll never leave you or forsake you. You're telling yourself a story in the midst of your suffering. But I promise you, you need to be preaching the true gospel, that God is with you, for you, loves you, will never forsake you. Number two, you need to invite somebody into your suffering. You need some good friends around you who are asking you what you're preaching to yourself. What have you been telling yourself lately in the midst of this pain? And when you tell them, they say, "That's a lie. That's not the truth." Let somebody be invited into your story to speak the truth into your pain when you're telling yourself a lie. Listen, pain and suffering, that's a community project. You know that. Our tendency is to suffer and pull away, to be in pain and pull away. It's a community project. When you suffer, invite some people into your suffering who can tell you the truth about God's goodness for you. And then you better pray. You better pray. God will meet you in the midst of whatever you pray. God will give you whatever you need, but you got to pray. You need to preach, you need to invite, and you need to pray. And I promise you, if we view suffering through the lens of God's eyes, he will grow us, he will guard us, he will motivate us, he will perfect us, he will mold us into the image of his son, Jesus. Listen, I don't like pain for pain's sake. But I love pain right now because I know pain has a purpose. And I can tell you from personal experience, every moment of pain I've been through, infertility stuff, infidelity stuff, loss, every pain that I've been through, I promise you God has turned around and brought somebody into my life that I can speak into from experience, not from theoretic. God will use your pain to grow you and to help others if you allow him to step into the midst of your pain. So do not believe the myth that if I ignore the pain, it will go away. But step into the pain so that God can do what he wants to do in you in the midst of your pain. Let's pray. Father, we don't like pain. God, but when we have your perspective, we know there's purpose in our pain. And so, Father, my prayer today is for everybody in this room. everybody who may watch online, everybody at our campuses, God, who may be in pain right now, Father, I pray that first of all, the truth of who you are would move in and remove the lie that they've been believing that you have forsaken them, that you're not faithful, that you're not good, that you don't care about them. God, I pray that that lie would be removed today in the name of Jesus. And then, Father, I pray that you would remind them that you're doing something in the midst of the pain. You may not have sent this. It may be something they brought on themselves or somebody else brought in. But God, you're redeeming it. And you'll use the trial to prove their character and prove their faith. Father, we want to be a people of proven character and faith. And so we receive the trials and we consider it joy so that you can do what you need to do in the midst of it. Father, help us to invite others into our suffering so that we can walk out what you've called us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. A couple quick things and I'll let you out of here. Men, sign up for the conference. It's coming up. It's going to be amazing. Sign up for Vacation Bible School as well. And this Wednesday is our night of worship and volunteer appreciation. We want to see every one of you there at 7 p.m. this Wednesday. If you came in with something today, or maybe you're in a season of pain, our prayer team's up here. We'd love nothing more than to stand with you and pray for what God would do through this midst of pain. And so as everybody goes out in just a minute, we invite you to come forward. Thank you for being here today. You are dismissed.
Thank you.